Welcome to the Independence Day version of the Real Estate Guys radio program. Before you close on a property, you better have inspected it. That sounds like an easy thing, but there's a lot more to it than you might think. On today's show from the archives, we'll discuss examining a property before you buy on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
If you want to retire in the next 5 years or less through real estate, then please pay close attention. My name is Brad Sumrock, and I've taught thousands of my students how to replace their incomes, quit their jobs, and retire faster than they ever thought possible by not investing in single-family homes. You see, there's a secret to retiring fast with little risk, and it has nothing to do with being a landlord, fixing toilets, or flipping houses. The secret is multifamily apartment buildings. Starting from scratch with zero experience, I managed to pocket over $1 million in cash and retire from my 17-year corporate job within 3 years of apartment investing. Now, this is not your typical no-money-down real estate training. We believe in smart, hard work for intelligent people. So if you're good with your finances, have a decent job, or saving your money, and you're looking for a change and getting out of the rat race, then investing in apartment buildings might just be the answer you've been looking for. Send an email right now to Sumrock at realestateguysradio.com to get the details of my upcoming training event, and you'll also receive my free training webinar, Apartment Investing for Beginners. That's Sumrock, S-U-M-R-O-K, at realestateguysradio.com.
Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio show. I'm your host, Robert Helms. With me, as usual, co-host financial strategist Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
Big hello and thanks to all of our veterans. A big Veterans Day celebration this year. You know, it seems like every year people are paying homage to those in the service and those that have been. But this year look at the football even. Football games, all kinds of acknowledgement to the veterans. So big Real Estate Guys thanks to all those that have served.
Yeah, absolutely. Sadly, we've got a lot of veterans deployed around the world and have been involved in a lot of things, but thank goodness young people, men and women, are willing to go out there and serve their country. So we appreciate that.
Hey, our show today is going to be focused on something we haven't talked about in a bit, but it's a critical, important step when you buy any property, and that is the property inspection. Now, that is a big, wide topic that could be as simple as hiring a professional inspector, all the way to your personal inspection, different specific inspections done by specialty vendors and all kinds of cans of worms. But it's critical. You know, if you buy a single family home today, it's pretty common practice that you would hire a home inspector. That's a third party company, typically a general contractor who will go through the home in a couple of hours and point out any major things they see. It is not exhaustive. It's got every caveat carved out in the report, so you can't necessarily rely on everything there, but it's a pretty good first step.
Yeah, we travel a lot. We do a lot of international business, and a big chunk of our audience is in the United States, and Americans are used to things being a certain way as a consumer, right? Especially in the real estate space. Highly regulated, lots of things are required. If you have lenders involved, then they require all kinds of things, and it's really easy as a consumer to think that somebody else is going to do it, right? Think that everything is handled, think that everything is going to be properly disclosed. And, you know, the other thing is, on this show especially, we talk a lot about the importance of getting your personal investment philosophy and picking the right market and building your team and how your team is going to take care of so many details. You could almost make the argument that we kind of set people up to be kind of cavalier, like, hey, the property is the least important thing. But this show is really about making the case that, okay, now you're down to brass tacks. This is the structure that you're going to be purchasing that is going to occupy and house your tenants that you are going to be financially responsible for maintaining at a certain level of habitability, and depending on what jurisdiction you're in and what type of product it is and who your tenant is, you're going to have a certain level of responsibilities under the law. So they don't really care if you have enough money at the time or not. You're going to have to make sure that that thing is kept up to a certain condition. And so I always do the financial side of things. So I look at it and I say, okay, when I'm going to come in and buy a property, I've really got to understand where I'm at with that property and what kind of set-asides, what kind of reserves, what kind of contingencies I have to have in my budget to anticipate what is going to be my cost of ownership. Because if I'm operating on positive cash flow, and hopefully I am, I need to be putting some stuff up, getting ready for whatever's coming. If my roof is going to be gone in 5 years and not 20, that's a different calculation, and on and on and on and on for all of the different pieces of the structure. So when I was in high school, I tore a car all the way down to the frame and rebuilt it. It was a very interesting experience. And I did that. I took auto shop because the way my brain worked, I said, you know, in my lifetime, I'm probably going to own a lot of cars. And even though I had no intention of being a mechanic, I thought it would be really good to understand the basic systems of a car so that I would be able to interface with my mechanic and make good decisions. Later in life, I did the same thing with a single family home, tore it all the way down to the bones and was very involved in bringing it back up. Never done it again, never want to, but it's very helpful when you go in to look at a property as an investor to understand what the basic systems are and what are the basic things and where the kind of the bodies are buried and where you can really get in trouble financially. So that this show is going to be a lot about talking about all those different components that you need to be aware of when you're going into the transaction in the beginning.
Well, and it is important to understand that real estate varies depending on where you are. And in lots of parts of the world, it isn't automatic that there is a duty to disclose. In the United States, for the most part, sellers have a duty to disclose, as do real estate agents, any material defects or any facts that might inhibit a buyer from buying. And we just take that at face value. But it's not true. In fact, in most places, it's not. In most places, it's caveat emptor. Let the buyer beware, and good luck with that.
So I just came from an international wealth symposium. And one of the things that was brought up there, because a lot of people there were Americans, is you have to understand, in some of these foreign countries, there is no truth in advertising law.
Right.
They can tell you anything they want. And if you're dumb enough to believe it without double checking, it sucks to be you. And so you just, again, depending on where you're doing business, one of the great things about America is they do protect the consumer in many cases. But even so, you can't assume that everything is covered. So, you know, get your notepads out and get ready to take a bunch of notes, because this is the beginning of you creating a due diligence checklist. So you learn how to ask the right questions. You know what to expect. And hopefully we come away today with some things that you didn't even know you didn't know. And you're going to be a lot smarter for having listened all the way through.
So the first thing is, why would you even bother to get an inspection? Well, that is because you aren't probably versed enough to see everything, which is why I hire a third party. And depending on what you're doing with the property, that's going to dictate what kinds of inspections you're going to get. I remember we bought a property that was a single family home that had just dilapidated. And really the reason we bought it was to tear it down and to subdivide the lot and to build three houses. Because of that, we scratched out the part of the contract that talked about an inspection. And the broker was all up in arms that we weren't going to get an inspection. And I finally had to say, listen, frankly, it doesn't matter what shape the house is in. That doesn't matter. We're buying it for a completely different purpose. So you need to understand, if you're buying that little rent house to rent it out to tenants for the next 10 years, then you better know what condition it's in. Because to your point, Russ, earlier, you need to budget for those things. It doesn't mean you wouldn't buy a property that was in bad shape. You can make it a really good deal that way. But you want to know. Sometimes I see these guys that go in and buy properties and they figure, well, I'm going to do a lot of work anyway. I really know the rehab. I don't need a third party person to tell me about it. And that may be true. If you're in the regular business of flipping houses, you may know everything you need to know with a personal inspection. And really, that's the first inspection, is a personal inspection, you going through the property and looking around. Now, even that isn't a given depending on the marketplace. Many times when we buy investment properties, say a fourplex or a 20-unit apartment building or a 300-unit apartment building, we don't get to go through and inspect before we're in contract. In fact, many contracts have a subject-to-inspection clause, or what we might call a go-no-go walkthrough. You get an opportunity once you're in contract and once the seller has accepted your offer and you have earnest money, then and only then you get a chance to walk through the property. So if I buy a single-family house that's on the market, I can probably get inside the house. But if I'm buying multiple units, then probably not, because again, the owner doesn't want to disrupt the tenants because I happen to want to take a look. So just if you've not bought that kind of property before, understand you might want to see it ahead of time. You might not be able to.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can imagine, you know, how disruptive it would be if every looky-loo wannabe real estate investor that just bought the late night TV course or listened to the great new radio show or podcast about real estate investing, and they're out there, you know, making a bunch of lowball offers and demanding to inspect a property, how disruptive, especially a multifamily, how disruptive that would be to your tenancy. So yeah, I mean, that makes total sense.
So let's say that once you've seen the property yourself, you decide, yep, I think this looks like it makes sense. Now is when you'd make the decision whether or not to bring in a professional. And for a few hundred dollars, a third-party home inspection company can usually come in and give you a pretty good idea. Now, here's something I recommended for years. When I was selling real estate actively, I would always recommend to my buyers, don't just hire a home inspector, show up for the inspection. Because today when you hire a home inspector, they're going to give you a really nice report, usually with pictures and a lot of descriptions of the things they're going to suggest that you address. But it is so much different reading it than it is standing there with the inspector. I can't even tell you how many times someone who read the report would be all up in arms about something, but if they were just there with the inspector and he was pointing to it, let me show you what I'm gonna write.
Well, I mean,
here.
In these days, you're running around with a smartphone, right? So you literally can video, take notes. I mean, you can capture a lot of that intelligence right on the spot when you're physically there,
and you can ask questions.
Yeah.
Rather than just say, "Oh, the GFI circuit has a problem," you go, "Well, what does that mean?" Well, let me show you. And it can take a lot of the burden off, but it also can give you some really good gut level. If the inspector is saying, "Yeah, I don't know, this seems to have a lot of problems with it," you can delve further into that conversation. "Well, Mr. Inspector, you see a lot of houses. I'm thinking about this for a long-term hold. Are you overly concerned?" That's a great question to ask an inspector. They might go, "No, these are just a few little things you can bang out in a weekend," versus, "Well, yeah, this house is getting near the end of its age life. How long does a house last?" Well, that depends on the area, right? There's houses in Europe that are 1,000 years old. There's houses that don't last 40 years in the United States. So the age life of a house is a very important concept. What are we expecting the systems of the property to need in the future? And so your first line of defense is a third-party home inspection. That's kind of the bare minimum. Unless, again, you have other plans for the property, you don't care what the current structure is, you're going to want to have a third-party inspect it. Now, here's the reality. Many inspectors will go through and point to other trades. They'll say things like, "Well, when I was up on the roof, I saw that perhaps there's some problems with some of the shingles. I'm going to recommend you get a roof inspection." Okay, well, a home inspection is not a roof inspection.
Right.
And if your home inspector, and that's why I like starting with the home inspector, says, "You know what? I think this roof is not serviceable," then you need to go out and get a separate roof inspection.
Yeah, so let's use an analogy, right? I talked earlier about automobiles and the systems, and I think most of us are familiar with that, right? But let's use the human body, for example, right?
No, but my chauffeur is.
if you go to a general practitioner, the human body's made up of systems. You know, you've got bones, you've got muscles, you've got your cardiovascular, your respiratory, you got your neurological, you know, your ears, just all this mouth, all this different stuff, all these different components, right? And so you go see your GP and they give you kind of this basic checkup, and then they find something that requires an expert in that particular system's input. And that's really what Robert's talking about right
here. That's exactly it. And so it might be the roof. It might be the heating and air conditioning system. A general inspector is going to have a lot of information about how they work and is going to tell you whether or not they seem to be a problem and what the expected life might be. But they're not a specialist. And especially if you're talking about a multiple unit property, that's an important component of it. A lot of properties that trade today that were built in the 60s or 70s have general common metered utilities. And that's a big can of worms. That's a harder thing as a operator of a property to deal with. You may be in a big value add today is to switch that in individual systems. Well, that's a special, that's not just an inspector. That's someone that really understands HVAC.
And so I have another additional thought, Robert, and you can comment on this because you're much more the deal guy than me. I'm kind of the finance guy. But it seems to me that if you are going to be looking at a tenant occupied property where you've gotten as far as to getting into contract and now you've got this contingency period, you need to move very quickly and you need to figure out what you're going to bargain for because you've set the price based on it being maybe in market condition or whatever. And now you're going to begin to dicker back and forth as you discover things, right? And you want to get through that discovery process pretty quickly. You want to pick your battles. You don't want to fight over things that don't matter. You want to make sure you do cover the things that do matter. And, you know, if there's backup offers and things like that, and it's a competitive market, you don't want to get kicked out of the deal, especially if you've negotiated yourself something pretty good. But, you know, to me, if you're only going to get this one shot, maybe you bring your own GC, especially if it's like a rehab, or have somebody who's an expert who's going to be helping run your project. I'm assuming you as an investor aren't going to be doing the rehab. I would never be doing the rehab. But I might want to bring my project manager who is going to be doing the rehab, who isn't really an inspector, but he's the guy that's got to give me the bid and live with it. Because if I have to make a tight offer, if I'm running on a tight budget, I don't want to put so much fat into it, especially if I'm going back to a group of investors, let's say, and I'm syndicating and I've got a rehab budget. And it's going to maybe blow up my rate of return if I have to put too much fat in. I know it's one of your beefs a lot. We put together deals. We put all these contingencies in. It's like, shoot, we're only going to make like 1%. Well, we're going to make 20 if 98 things that we've all imagined are going to be a disaster don't happen. If only half of them happen, then we're going to make 12 or 15. That's pretty good, right? But does it make sense to bring a guy like that with you?
Well, I think it totally depends on the nature of the property. If it's a single family home, you don't want to call those other trades and incur those other costs if a home inspector says, "No, it looks pretty good to me." But if I was doing a walkthrough on 100 unit building, I would have an entire crew there. I would have a plumber, I would have an electrician, I would have a general contractor, probably the one I was going to use or was in the running for, or one that wanted to put in a bid and wanted to impress me. I would have a home inspector. And again, as we get into different property types, we can have some of those specific things. But the concept is a great one. That is, the folks that are going to be helping you in this project are the ones that ought to see it early on. We're talking about inspecting a property before you buy. There's a lot to talk about, and we've got a great real estate trivia question that has to do with inspecting a property before we're done. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Live nationwide, you're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Hi, this is Patrick from Paradigm Life. I've recently written an ebook called The Perpetual Wealth Strategy. The ebook discusses one of the best investments, real estate, combined with a financial vehicle used by the wealthy, many US presidents, famous actors, athletes, and even Houdini himself. You can download the ebook for free in the resources section on the Real Estate Guys Radio homepage. Don't wait, go download it now.
Hi, this is Anthony Melchiori from Hotel Impossible, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. Come on out to Real Estate Guys event and hang out with The Real Estate Guys. You can find out what we're doing on our website at realestateguysradio.com under the tab that says events. Some events are events that we do. Some events are other folks' events that we just show up at, but we love meeting listeners. We're talking today about inspecting properties. It's not the sexy, exciting part of the business, but it's absolutely critical before you close on a property that you understand what you're buying. Again, depending on the nature of the property, you may be very hands-on in the process or you may not. But either way, someone on your team needs to understand the bones of the property. Does it make sense to put the kind of effort and money into this particular property when there's a lot on the market? And you spoke earlier about something we ought to talk about, and that is the strength of the market can also determine that. For instance, let's say the market is really, really strong and there's a lot of property, there's a lot of competition. Many times these home inspectors we're talking about get busy.
Yeah.
You might decide you want to sharpen your pencil and put a 14-day or 7-day contingency in your contract so it looks really good to the seller. And then you find out that the inspectors can't even see the property for 20 days. That's a problem.
Well, a complete aside, but having a background in the mortgage business, and one of these things that used to drive us crazy is these people would put in these financing contingencies that were super tight. And then the appraisers were so busy, we couldn't get them out there for like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yep.
We have the whole file papered and we've got it in the underwriter and we're sitting here waiting and waiting and waiting on the appraisal. And then something comes back in the appraisal that nobody anticipated, right? And then you end up with a problem. So one of the things just kind of in basic like investing 101 is when you know the condition or the state of how fast the particular market is operating in, make sure you have all of these people. Don't go shopping for your inspectors or your appraisers or whatever when you're already in the deal. Have those people lined up and get some sense from the people you're going to be working with what their current right now turnaround times are so that you understand really what you can realistically commit to in a contract. Because just getting a contract that you're going to have to blow up and walk away from or, you know, are going to have a bunch of brain damage trying to hold the thing together, you probably don't want to do that. And it's a simple thing to do just by being a little bit more prepared going into a transaction than your competition is.
Well, that was exactly the point I wanted to make, which is make sure you understand timelines. And a step further is this. If you know you're out looking for a property, you're developing a relationship with everyone on your team. If you've got a home inspector on your team, You can easily set an appointment for a property you don't have in contract yet if you know they're running behind.
Right.
Hey, Joe, I need to get on your calendar as soon as possible. Well, it's 3 weeks from now.
And that's a competitive advantage.
Yep. Lock me in a space then. 3 weeks from now, lock me in a space. Now I know I've got a home inspector online. I can always cancel, and I want to give them as much notice as possible. But so that's the quick aside, is to understand the nature of the market you're in. So now let's say that we call for some of those other trades. There's other stuff that the property we couldn't see from the outside until an inspector came in. They're going to call it out for the inspection for other trades to come in and take those inspections. All that has to fit in your inspection contingency plan. So to your point, maybe you put 21 days and the inspector comes out in 17, but then he calls for 14 other things. So it is quite common that we have to retrade. And that's kind of the terminology we use in real estate when we have to renegotiate anything. If we have inspections that show a lot of damage, now we're going to go back and retrade. You want to get out of the habit of just retrading for the sake of negotiating. That doesn't give you a very good reputation in the market. But if something major comes up, my very first listing we had, and it's great practice for sellers agents to call for inspections up front. Many don't, but today great agents will always have the inspections done up front. Doesn't mean you don't want your own inspector. You probably do, but at least the seller has some idea. We had asked for a termite inspection right when we listed the property. It hadn't yet come in, and it was a hot marketplace, and I had 5 offers in the first 24 hours on my first listing, one of which came from my dad. We had an up call, right? Someone who called our office about the listing. My dad ended up writing an offer on it, and so we've got all these offers. Well, we get the structural pest control inspection, or what we might call in the trade a termite inspection, and there's $35,000 worth of termite damage.
Ouch.
Well, 4 of my buyers gone instantly, right? That's why you get your inspections up front. It gives the seller a chance to address that thing, or at least price it into the model. But my dad's client was still in the game. They're like, yeah, well, we expected the property's 65 years old. We expected there'd be some problems, and let's just work on it. If there's $35,000 worth of damage, the simple thing would be, Mr. Seller, we agreed on a price based on what we thought the condition was. The principle is market price for a market property. We've just discovered there's a $35,000 issue. Would you lower the price by $35,000? And many sellers would go, well, I guess that's reasonable. Now, again, that's why we recommend inspections up front by sellers, not by buyers. We're going to assume for today's show that you've not been given any inspections. If you get an inspection, great. My advice, again, would be get someone else to verify. Trust, but verify. Get another set of eyes. So now we've got the information back. And most inspections are going to have written reports. Again, I'm going to suggest you're going to be there for the actual inspection if you can be, but sometimes you're buying a property a few states over, another country, or you work and you can't be there. If you can get someone on your team, your real estate professional, your project manager, someone to be there, great. But now you're going to go through and you're going to look at all the work that needs to be done. And this is back to that fundamental question, does it make sense as an investment if it has this much work? If I went through and my rehab budget was 20 grand, and now I'm going through my various inspections, and it looks like the budget is 25 grand, okay, I'm still within spitting distance, and I might just go back and negotiate something for the seller. Or I might decide, well, okay, we can probably shave some off there. We can value engineer. We can get it done. If it comes back at 100 grand, it might be a no. If it comes back at 5 grand, you're like, I'm in there, right? So you're trying to get your mind around, does it make sense to move ahead? That's the purpose of an inspection. You've already identified the market. You've identified the property. You know the tenant profile. You're saying yes to all those things. I just need to know, can this property produce the results I want?
Yeah, and do the math, and the math will tell you what to do, but you have to have accurate inputs. And that's really what this process is all about, is making sure that when you're making those estimates, you really know what you're looking at. And then the other thing too is you talked about like flipping. Flipping is a very different deal, because when you're going into a property and you're going to put in a certain amount of capital and rehab it and get it ready and remarket it, those little $5,000 deals are huge, because that comes right off the bottom line. When you're going to buy a property and finance it and hold it over a 10-year period of time, and financing is like below 5% right now, even on investment property, $5,000 is not that much money. And you may decide, hey, I'm going to make a whole lot more money by owning this property. Yes, I would have liked to have gotten it for $5,000 less, but at the end of the day, in the next 10 years, that $5,000 really doesn't mean that much to me. I can bid that much more high because I'm only, you know, say I'm putting 20% down, I'm only going to have to put in $1,000 more cash versus the $4,000 that I'm going to be financing. And the loan payment on that might be a few bucks a month. It's not that big of a deal. So when you're doing the math, don't get so fixated on the price. Get fixated on what it's going to take to control the property over your period of possession, and then decide if that ROI makes sense for you.
And then part of the process is to look at the condition, which is now indicated by the reports of these professional inspectors, and decide how much of this was I kind of expecting based on the price I was offering, and what are the things that we didn't expect, the seller didn't expect, we didn't expect, because that's when you're going to be able to go back and negotiate. Now, here's a lesson I learned from one of my first real estate brokers that has saved me so much time and toil over the years, and I would readily share this with clients when I was active working with buyers and sellers, which I happily am not today, but for many years I did that. It's this. Don't ever go back to the seller and negotiate for them to pay for something that you're not willing to walk away from the deal if they say no.
Right. Absolutely.
Many times we would get an inspection to come in and say that two of the outlets were wired reverse polarity. And so my buyer would say, well, we've got to get the seller to cover that. And I go, whoa, 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 wait a minute. If they come back and say there's no way they're going to change the polarity in those two outlets, are you willing to walk away from the deal? Well, of course not. Well, then let's not even ask for it. That's a $10 fix. But you'd be amazed how many times buyers would take a report from an inspector and just say, Mr. Seller, fix all this.
Yeah, there's cultural things there. I had a similar experience with a car. It had nothing to do with real estate, but I was selling a used car, and the guy wanted to get an inspection on it. Great, good on him, right?
Yep.
So we went down to the Lexus dealership, and they ran the inspection on it, and he kind of looked at it, and the car came back clear. It was great. It was in great shape, as good as new. I took excellent care of the car. And then at the very end, right, we've already basically agreed on the price, and the thing passed inspection. We're just ready to do the deal, and he saw a little parking lot ding, and he wanted me to fix it. And I just said to him, you know what? There's a whole parking lot here full of new cars. If you wanted a brand new car, then you can go ahead and pay an extra $15,000 to get a brand new car. But I'm not fixing that.
Right.
And I would have walked away from the sale. Said, I can sell this to somebody else because now you just paid for an inspection. And I know that this car is in great shape.
Well, that's a great story, but it also brings up another really important point, and it's this. In places like the United States of America and other mature real estate markets, there is a duty to disclose. And when we have a duty to disclose, the seller cannot disclose things they do not know. Once you've done an inspection, now the seller knows, because sellers get copies of every inspection that's usually in the contract. Now the seller has to disclose going forward. So very often we can use that as negotiation. If the seller, in say my case of my first listing, said, well, I had no idea there was $35,000 worth of damage. I'm not going to take that big of a hit. Well, you now have to disclose that damage to the next buyer. And therefore, it's not a matter of if you want to take the hit. In the market, you have to take the hit.
Right. And it's not even just if you know, but it's if there was a reasonable expectation that you should have known.
Yeah, that's another interesting point. And that's true not only for the seller of a property, but for the agent, if there's an agent involved. We're going to always recommend you have an agent involved. It just makes so much sense for so many reasons. But sometimes people buy without an agent, and okay, that's a risk you're taking. And sometimes there's reasons to do that. But I'll almost always bring a great professional in to just make sure, because they're in the business of that. You're not in the business of that. Plus, they have other liability, and this is a value add they have. They see a lot of houses. A great agent sees a lot of property. A great industrial agent sees a lot of industrial buildings. A great retail agent sees a lot of retail property. A great agricultural, right? All these agents are huge value add. They come in and they say, listen, having done this a long time, let me point out a few things.
I have another sidebar. I know we're supposed to be talking about inspections, but you know, really having a professional who's experienced in a particular niche is part of your inspection process, if you will. That's the point you're making. And I've seen people who decide, hey, I've got a friend who's got a real estate license, so I'm going to have them represent me. They've never been in the niche. They have no idea what the property is. They bring nothing but the license, and it's really just a lightly veiled way to try to save a few thousand dollars on a commission, which, as a buyer, you're not really paying the commission anyway. It's coming from the seller. And then you're trying to get that. And then you end up with the wrong person on the job who can screw the deal up and certainly is not going to recognize anything important in that particular product class or niche.
In the words of Bruce Willis from Armageddon, way wrong answer. You do not bring in your brother-in-law to save 5 cents. That's the biggest mistake you can make when it comes. You want a great agent and you want to pay him a lot of money. Remember the very first time we had Robert Kiyosaki on the radio show was before you were the co-host of the Real Estate Guys.
That's a long time ago.
Long time ago. And he talked about the fact that he makes sure his agents get paid at least full commission and usually more. because he wants to be on the short list of deals. If you're in your agent's pocket, that's the worst place to be. And if you're trying to save a point or 2 points, you're in the wrong deal. Get a great professional.
You try and save a few bucks on an airline ticket and you end up sitting next to the bathroom in the very back in the seat that won't recline. Okay, well, if that's what you're interested in, you know, you take
maybe get you there.
I mean, there's a reason business people sit in business class, because they get on the plane early, they get off the plane early, they get to sit down and be productive. They don't have to worry about anything. They're comfortable and rested when they get where they're going.
And they're sitting with cool people.
That's right.
How many deals have we done because we sat next to somebody in VIP seating at a concert or in first class on an airplane? I don't like to pay for a first class ticket, but I fly a lot, so I get a lot of upgrades. I will always take the upgrade. It's a lesson I've learned the hard way, because people up in first class, I mean, deals happen up there, right?
That's right.
Like people who decide to play golf because deals happen on the golf course, right? Or shooting ranges or anywhere, right? So that's beyond the scope of today's show for sure. But we never know what's going to come out of our mouths. Hey, we're talking about getting inspections on properties and some of the nuances there. And when we come back, we're going to have a trivia question that is based on an actual property. And it's a great one. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real Estate Investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Are you ready to profit in paradise? Hi, it's Robert Helms. And if you think real estate investing means tenants, toilets, and termites, think again. Located just a short plane ride from the U.S., a virtually untouched paradise awaits. The beautiful country of Belize. When you go to Belize with the Real Estate Guys, you'll spend 4 fabulous days discovering one of the most intriguing real estate markets I've ever seen. With its jungle rainforests, pristine beaches, and 81-degree turquoise water, Belize is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Plus, it's considered one of the top 7 tax havens in the world. Belize property is on the rise, and many experts think the best is yet to come. But don't just take my word for it. Come experience Belize firsthand at our upcoming investor field trip. When you join us, you'll discover the many reasons we love Belize, like tremendously undervalued beachfront land, super low taxes, ease of doing business, and so much more. Get the details at realestateguysradio.com. Just click on events. See paradise for yourself. Click events at realestateguysradio.com, and I'll see you in beautiful Belize.
Hi, I'm G. Edward Griffin, author of The Creature from Jekyll Island, a second look at the Federal Reserve, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program, heard every weekend on this great radio station, all the time at realestateguysradio.com. Hope you had a wonderful 4th of July holiday, or wherever you are in the world, you're enjoying this time of year. We're talking about inspecting a property before you buy, or at least before you close. Before we get back to that discussion, it's time to play Real Estate Trivia, your chance to win a prize by knowing today's Real Estate Trivia question. In just a minute, I'm going to give you a patriotic trivia question, so you're going to need to know something about U.S. history. And as soon as you hear the question and know the answer, quickly get us your best guess to trivia at realestateguysradio.com. Trivia at realestateguysradio.com. You'll need to include your actual name and mailing address so that if you're the winner, we can send you a copy of the great book Tax-Free Wealth by CPA Tom Wheelwright. Seems like a good time of year to think about saving on taxes. Before we give you this week's question, last week on the Real Estate Guys, we were talking about keeping your thumb on the pulse of a real estate market. We asked this. The house used in the film 16 Candles was put on the market in June for just under $1.5 million. In what city is it located? Well, the answer is Evanston, Illinois. The 6-bedroom, 4-bathroom home was listed on June 3rd and has since attracted a variety of suitors, according to the home's listing agent. It was featured in the John Hughes-directed movie with Molly Ringwald and Anthony Michael Hall. In fact, this particular area of Illinois has been very popular in movies because of John Hughes' affinity for Chicago suburbs, where he lived as a teen. The movies Home Alone, The Weatherman, and Uncle Buck have all been set in Evanston's tree-lined traditional neighborhoods. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. The Star-Spangled Banner was originally a poem stemming from Francis Scott Key's observations in 1814 of an attack on Fort McHenry. Where is Fort McHenry? Yep, where is Fort McHenry located? If you know, quickly get us an email to trivia at realestateguysradio.com and include your name and mailing address. If you're the first person, you'll get a copy of CPA Tom Wheelwright's great book, Tax-Free Wealth. That's today's real estate trivia question. And one of the things we're talking about today is inspecting a property before you close. You don't have to necessarily inspect a property before you put an offer in on it. In fact, that's probably a waste of time. But at some point, you want to make sure you've gone through the property with sufficient diligence to know what you're getting. That's the purpose of an inspection, is to know the condition. It's not, to your point earlier about the ding on the car, Russ, it's not to make it perfect. No property's perfect. Now, let's get from single-family homes, which are easy to understand, to maybe more complex properties. Say you're investing in a 100-unit apartment building. People ask, well, will the home inspector come out and inspect 100 units? Well, they would, but it might take days. So how do we actually do an inspection on a 100, 200, 300-unit apartment building? Remember, you and I went to a Rich Dad event for a couple of days in Phoenix where Kenny McElroy, the Rich Dad advisor for real estate, and Robert were talking about investing in properties. And Ken had a great video he had done of this very thing, of his team going out to do an inspection on a property they had in contract. And that's what he does. He mobilizes a team of people, and they generally will go through every unit. Now, sometimes in the initial stage, they'll inspect a representative number of units. If it's a 100-unit property, they might expect 20 rooms at random. You don't let the seller, the seller's agent, or the property manager tell you which rooms. You pick 20 rooms and you go inspect as part of your go, no go. Once you say, yeah, we're going ahead, then you probably, depending again on what your intent is for the property, you're probably going to go through and have an exhaustive inspection. This can take several days and cost a lot of money, but it is an ounce of prevention.
Yeah, one of my favorite things that Kenny does at the Secrets of Successful Syndication seminars, he often brings in his team. He doesn't do it every time. And he'll show us what he goes through, you know, the due diligence process, if you will, on the property itself. He also sometimes goes through the numbers, and they go hand in hand because you're looking at the property trying to figure out what numbers are going to go onto your pro forma and your budget for your plan.
Well, especially because what Ken's model typically is to buy an underperforming asset that they're going to do work, they're going to add value. And so he really has to have his mind around what it's going to cost and what the return will be if they invest that money.
Well, and a lot of times when they're walking a property, they're trying to really get their mind about how they might change the property itself.
Yes.
They may add a washer dryer, or they may add a closet. Sometimes it's outside and they have an opportunity to add covered parking or storage or different things as ways to find additional revenue generation, ways to push the rent a little bit, but by adding value, not just hoping the market gives it to them, but by actually forcing it to happen by changing subtly the way the property is configured. And so, you know, part of your inspection, it may have nothing to do with the physical condition of the property. It may have to do with the optimal condition of the property and what you could do with it based on what the market would bear if, in fact, somebody with a little bit of vision came in and retooled that property.
So obviously scheduling that takes some time and some thought, and it's going to be part of this contingency period, but that's why you've got to get your ducks in a row ahead of time. Now, there's other specific property types that have different types of inspection. Say you're investing in raw land. Well, depending on what you expect to do with raw land, there are soils tests you'll need to perhaps do. There are structural tests. If I'm building a single-story structure, that's very different than if I'm building a 20-story building. I need to know what type of material there is, where bedrock is. I mean, there's a bunch of questions I need to know to see if that property is suitable for my need.
You know, one of the scariest things I think about doing that type of thing, a lot of times we think, oh, it's just an empty lot. What could be there? You know, and you may not know that the lot you're buying used to be next door to a gas station, which is no longer there. And that gas station has come and gone, but there was some type of seepage from one of the storage tanks. And all of a sudden, you've got all this toxic waste 10, 15 feet deep in the soil. And you may not know it, but you, as the new owner of that property, end up being financially responsible for detoxifying this piece of land. And it is something that somebody else did some time ago. And so those environmental studies are really important. Robert, you have a lot more experience than I, but I've certainly seen the horror stories of people who end up with a gigantic bill they can't get out of.
Well, you've jumped just a little bit ahead of the outline here, such as it is, which is just rolling around in my mind. But the next thing I wanted to talk about was this type of inspection. So,
well, your tee up was great because it took me right there.
Perfect. There's two big, broad categories of inspections. One is a physical inspection that must be done on the property with eyes on the property. The second is an inspection that's done outside of that. For instance, a flood inspection. if I'm in a flood zone, that's going to affect my insurance, my lending, my potential costs in the future. And so if you're in an area that's a 100-year floodplain, that's an inspection that can be done from a map reading. The next is an environmental inspection, which is what you're talking about. That's a whole can of worms, and we could do a whole show on it if anyone could stay awake through it. But let's give the Reader's Digest version, which is this. In some properties, I need to have a phase one environmental inspection done. And what a phase one inspection is, it's a specific terminology that talks about the map reading of the types of hazards that can be in the area, like what they call a Superfund site or an underground storage tank that was abandoned from a gas station. That's a great example. We had that very thing happen to us on a property in Las Vegas. It was within a quarter mile of an abandoned gas station, like they just left in the middle of the night, but a place that used to be a gas
station.
They
ran out of gas.
And they don't dig up those big tanks that have been filled with gasoline and potentially leaking for 20 years. They don't take those with them. They just pave it over and put up a donut shop. So you need to know where those things are. Sometimes it has to do with where major utilities are, if it's a big electric substation or something like that. So your phase one environmental is kind of the cursory level. It's the least expensive and the least detailed report. Many times after you get a phase one report, it's going to call for another phase. And again, we're not going to get into the weeds about it, but it's a third-party inspection that you have done. And it's not necessarily a physical inspection of the property. It's to say, hey, here on the map. Same thing for seismic. If you're in an area like California where there are earthquakes, you want to know if you're in a seismic zone, and that can be done from a map reading inspection. So there's infinite number of types of inspections you might get depending on the property and depending on your use for the property, but just consult your professional. If I'm buying an industrial property, many times you run into Superfund and other environmental issues in an area that has been primarily manufacturing and industrial, and so you'll see those issues crop up. Sometimes you're looking at a property for long-term hold, for production of income, or for value increase. You don't know what all the issues are. Find out as much as you can. What if it's agricultural? You're looking to buy a property and decide. We went to the agriculture symposium earlier this year, and that was fascinating to learn about the types of inspections, third-party inspectors that come out and do soils inspection, not for the purpose of construction, but to see what the nutrients are. And is this the right type of soil for certain types of crops? The value of agricultural property depends on what kind of utilization you can get.
So some time ago we had on the show a guy named Juan Fisher, who I'm happy to say now is going to be attending as a faculty member on the 2016 Investor Summit at Sea.
Oh, there's the first announcement. That's very exciting. This guy's an attorney. He has got a practice where they help people that are looking at real estate in Uruguay, specifically farmland and those kinds of properties.
And that's the whole thing. And so Uruguay, because it's such a farmland-rich country, one of the things they offer is like this electronic database of soil conditions and the types of soil. And you can go onto a website and actually look at how parcels are, you know, in terms of, and it's one of the most sophisticated systems for doing this in the world. Yeah. And I had no idea. I mean, I just learned this just a little while ago. It's fascinating. But, you know, farmland is such a huge opportunity right now. And of course, the most important thing is the soil, water, and of course, the weather. Anyway, so you brought that up and it made me think. Because the other thing is I thought of, you know, in San Jose, California, for years and years and years, the Mirasu vineyards were all up in the East foothills. And of course, that all went away, and somebody had to come in and they built houses because it was, at least from a financial perspective, highest and best use. Kind of miss seeing those vineyards there. But it makes me wonder, you know, I don't know, and I'm asking the question, Robert, because, you know, you're more the real estate guy than I am. But, you know, these guys use pesticides and different things over the years, you know, Roundup and whatever, who I've been reading all kinds of issues with Roundup. When a home builder goes in to do something like that, and it's being built on old farmland, like the house I grew up in when I was in, you know, elementary school, my folks had bought a house that was built what used to be an apricot orchard. And it makes me wonder, you know, if I'm the developer doing that, do I have to be concerned about those types of environmental studies the same way I would like if there had been a gas station there?
Well, even more so, right? If I'm developing something, I need to know what those potential landmines might look like and what had been there previously. And sometimes you can find out and sometimes you can't. My second listing ever was houses in an area you're very familiar with that used to be an elementary school. They took the back part of the elementary school and created 27 lots and had different builders come in and build property there, and they were high-end homes in Cupertino, California.
Yep, I know the area well.
You know exactly where I'm talking about. They had to go through and do a study based on what. Now, they thought, well, hey, it was the yard of a school, the playground of a school for, look, that nothing there. I mean, gum in the seats and stuff. But, well, what was, well, it turns out that previously to that, it had been part of an old railroad. And so they had to look at the soil. They had to, so there's a lot that you can figure out. Now, here's the other reality of inspections. You can never get everything. You can't do diligence around every possible thing. What your mission is as a real estate investor is to figure out as many things as you can. When we come back, we're going to give some more insight into that. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
Memphis is famous for being the home of the king of rock and roll, but it's also the king of cash flow. If you're looking for affordable cash flow properties, it's hard to beat Memphis. Get your portfolio rocking and more cash flowing your way by calling Terry Kerr at Mid-South Home Buyers. Terry's the king of turnkey properties. Contact Terry through the resource section at realestateguysradio.com. And be sure to order Terry's Tips for Turnkey Rental Property Investing Report. It's free. Just send your request to turnkey@realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Garrett Sutton, Robert Kiyosaki's asset protection attorney and the author of Loopholes of Real Estate and Start Your Own Corporation. As an American or foreign-based investor in U.S. real estate, you know we are a litigious society. You know that you need to protect your real estate, paper, and bullion holdings with the right mix of LLCs and corporations. Our firm, Corporate Direct, not only forms these entities, but importantly, we properly maintain them too. If you fail to follow the corporate formalities, you can lose it all in an instant. Corporate Direct is your source for LLC protection and maintenance in all 50 states. Visit CorporateDirect.com or call 800-600-1760. Mention the Real Estate Guys for a free bonus. That's 800-600-1760 or CorporateDirect.com. We look forward to assisting you at CorporateDirect.com.
Hi, this is Darren Hardy, publisher of Success Magazine, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
And welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks so much for tuning into the show today. If you made it this far, you must really be a serious student into this show. Not the most exciting stuff, property inspections, but critical, and hopefully you've learned a few nuggets today. Hey, come on out to The Secrets of Successful Syndication in January in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. Beautiful time to come to Phoenix. We're going to have an amazing time for 2 days. You can get all the details on our website at realestateguysradio.com. So just kind of rounding up our discussion here.
Nice.
On inspections. Yeah, there's a lot to be concerned about, but there's not that much to be worried about. One of the things I will stress, though, is to understand the nature of the inspector. And this is something I learned, too, from a broker I had many, many years ago, that many home inspectors have a pickup truck, a flashlight, and a ladder. And if there was to be an issue where there was something they should have found and didn't, who's ultimately responsible? The great part you talked about in the United States, consumer protection law, yes, but also attorneys who have every caveat and carve out there is. So make sure you read what the inspector is providing for you. It is not the end all be all get out of jail free card. It is an opinion. It's a educated opinion on what the property condition is, but at the end of the day, you're responsible. So a couple of practical things. Keep all of your inspections. And more importantly, keep records of everything you did as a result of those inspections. If you made some changes, if you did some improvements, keep a record of that. Because again, if you've got to disclose when you sell the property, great to have that information. We certainly wish more sellers would hang on to their receipts and records and third-party reports and inspections over the years so you would know. Like the roof inspection, right? Depending on where you are, in a place like California, roofs can last for 40 years. In a place like Texas, probably a roof never goes more than 7 years before there's a hailstorm or some reason to need to replace it. And so just knowing what's usually accepted in the area is huge. Rely on your real estate professionals. Your real estate brokers and agents will know the types of reports. Not only that, they'll probably have referrals to good sources of people that can be those very inspectors.
Well, I mean, and that's the key. In closing, I think I would just say this, because I know just a little bit about all these things, but the main thing that I know is that you want to hire experienced agents in the particular niche of what you're buying that know your market. You want to hire reputable inspection companies that are big, that have been around for a long time, that do a good job. You don't want to be penny wise and pound foolish when it comes to doing the due diligence on the asset that you are going to be financially responsible for. And especially if it's for residential use, right? Because you are going to put a family in there, kids, you know, you just do not want to have to get to the point where you don't have enough money to keep the property up because you get blindsided by something you should have known about. And you certainly don't want to buy a property that's dangerous. We didn't even talk about mold. It's like one of the major issues out there, but there are things that can be in houses, lead, asbestos, things that you need to be aware of and are going to be responsible for as a landlord. So make sure that you hire the best, take time to read it and understand what you've got, and you'll be safe more often than not.
Hey, it's starting to fill up, but there's room for you if you've ever wanted to do bigger deals using other people's money. Come on out to the Secrets of Successful Syndication. You'll learn how to put together group deals, whether you're raising a few hundred thousand or tens of millions. We'll discuss the best deals to syndicate, how to set up your business structure to be legally compliant, and where to find the money. Plus, you'll meet great people and have fun networking. It takes place in September in Phoenix, Arizona. You'll find all the details on our website at realestateguysradio.com under events. Enjoy your summer. Until next week, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723, extension 4. That's 888-489-7723, extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.